The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying.
You're welcome to our Friday meeting. Once in a while we might have a focus that we are aware of. Most times we don't, so we can't say we're not often given to announcing our meetings as special programs, even if they are, or is serious, because amongst the reasons I believe is that every gathering of God's people ought to be considered a special program. If you can appear before the Most High God, it's a special thing. If you are to be able to appear before the governor, people would say things like, oh, welcome to this auspicious opportunity, and they'll say all of that. Every appearance before the Most High God has to be special. Except you don't realize you're appearing before the Most High God. And I know many people do not, because it's just ritual. It's ritual. They have been there before. They've been there so many times, they do not consider it of consequence that they are in the presence of the Almighty God. But if our minds are alert to the reality in the Spirit, you'd know that where two or three are gathered in His name, two or three gathered in His name, you would realize that He says He's there in their midst. If He's in their midst, if the Most High God is in our midst, if the Lord of hosts is in our midst, how do you treat and how do you handle such a personage? You couldn't have a more special meeting. It doesn't matter if He met with you 7 days, seven times a day. It's a special meeting. It's special because of who invited you. It's because of who is meeting with you. The person makes the meeting. Now, one might wonder, well, I don't know, but I am often not very impressed by the meetings with God. The truth is, you didn't meet with God. You're one of those who do not meet with God. 10 people can be in a place. Only one may meet with the Lord, or none, or 5. You remember the foolish virgins? You do remember there were 10 virgins. Only 5 were foolish. The other 5 were called wise because they met with God. They were ready. They came with an attitude that they are meeting with someone important. That's how they approached that meeting. As someone who was, as people who were getting ready. So they kept, okay, we have some oil here in our lamp, but I better keep some reserve. You never know what will happen. They prepared. Their minds were set. And even though they dozed off, at some point they woke up again. And when they woke up, and all of them had slept, because they had taken the meeting as serious. You don't want, think about it. Let me give a present day example. Oh, you're expecting a guest. It's a big deal. You don't hear, he's at the gate. It's like, oh, on the generator, on it, it goes broom, broom. Say, oh, we didn't buy petrol. That's the oil for the lamp, a big lamp. What do you mean by we didn't buy? Didn't you know he was coming? Well, I knew. If I didn't know, would I be at home? By now, I would be elsewhere. Okay. You knew he was coming. You didn't think. You didn't think. Let me just put it that way. You didn't think. You didn't process him worthy enough to, all right, is there water in the fridge? Good. Is there food? Is there snack? Is there, what kind of visit is it? Okay. Is he going out with me? Is he going out with us? Okay. So my shoes are cleaned and ready here. My, everything is, you know how the book of Luke says, he says that the servant that should be dressed and ready for service using another picture. That one was a picture of a servant. This one is a picture of a bridegroom. Same thing. So how did you expect this very important guest and you did not think through everything? You didn't list it. Okay. Fuel generator. I hope there's fuel. Come, go and buy. Run. Even if you forgot up till that evening. That's what happens when people are expecting someone important. They prepare. They get ready. They make an effort. But when you have absolutely no concern, then you act like, oh, well, it was a mistake. I didn't. No, according to the story, they were locked out. You should know the story, right? The 10 virgins. Mm. They locked. When they came back, they went to look for their petrol leak. After he has come, they couldn't find their way. They weren't ready. He comes. They said, no, let me go and get petrol. Let me get ready to meet God. You know, I'm ready to be serious now. As they took off, they came back. The door was locked. There was light inside the room. For the person that's wondering, this example is not good. It's perfect. You know the five virgins had lights. Yes. You know the five of them were with the master. I repeat, there was light in the house. So who were those shut out? Those without light. They were shut out. The door was shut. So they could see through the windows, through the under the edge of the door. There was light. They stood there and knocked and they said, I don't know. He said, I don't know you. I don't deal with those who deal in darkness. Now, my emphasis, however, is that preparation is the greatest proof of commitment, of faithfulness and loyalty. Preparation. We have to prepare for that which we deem important. Don't say you are serious. Don't say you deem things important and you don't prepare. I was hoping to do well in the examination. Yeah, I know the last three days I was catching up with the football matches. I hear the final is in 2 days. So I said, let me watch the earlier ones. I wasn't around. I was in the village. There was no electricity. So I came to town and I've been catching up, downloading and watching. Yes, there's this exam tomorrow morning, but don't worry. I'm watching two more matches this night. You know, if I can still sit up, I'll read something. The exam is by 8. God is with us. So that attitude is what will cost most people. You don't do that. If you could trick anyone, are you going to trick God? Is God going to somehow not realize what you're doing and not realize that you take him for a joke? So he didn't say, you know what, I understand. I know these things happen. He didn't tell the five foolish virgins these things happen. Every once in a while, I like to hold forth for Jesus. I like to make a case for the Most High. You know, say, these things happen. He said, are you serious? What happens? What happens? No, these things don't happen. Mm-mm. I've seen people prepare for things. These things don't happen. Irrelevant things. Things like a birthday. These things don't happen. So it's a function of how you treat, esteem the person. The greatest proof is in what we do for a person. That shows our regard for the person. I think they are important. Let's get a vehicle to help drop them off there. I think they are not that important. Ah, they are just one of my friends now. They stay around here. Abba, do I need to take you and show you how to get? Now, I'm explaining something. So, it's not that you don't esteem your friend, but you and her grew up on this street. She knows her way to the junction. You don't need to walk her down. Oh, when you go there, okay, you see, you go right. If I ever had to give someone a leg, someone that visited, you had to go out to the junction, meet them, show them the way, all of that. Now, how many of you, after they've come 2-3 times, no need, they know their way there. You're not following them, it's not that you're looking down on them, it's that, you know how this rule. But that's completely different from having a special visitor coming in from outside the country. It's coming in from outside the country. And then you act that way. That's not how you act with that one. This one is special now here. Listen. It's not that your friend, it's not that you esteem him more than your friend. It's that the occasion warrants. Anything else wouldn't make sense. The occasion warrants that you get into a vehicle and go and wait for him at the airport. He's too fresh to the space for you to leave him to walk it out. Do you understand this? Does this mean you despise your friend? Does it mean you wouldn't even do more for your friend than that person? But in that first visit, in that coming in his majesty, it makes no sense whatsoever in any setting in the world for you to be in your room and say on the phone, hello, have you found a hotel to stay? It's impossible for you to defend yourself in this. You don't say, no, but compared to others, I just treated him. No, you don't do that. Do you know Jesus the Lord left the earth about 2,000 years ago? And that when he's coming back as king to collect the earth as his inheritance. To collect it. He told in Matthew 25, Luke 19, he said a certain nobleman left to go and receive a kingdom, like to get the papers for his right to the kingdom. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. But they have been trespassers, foreigners, death, sin, Satan. They have occupied this space and exercised authority. He is going to come and he left us in charge. He's coming back. You can tell that in Luke chapter 12, Luke 19, Matthew 25, those same chapters. And he's coming back and you hear, Oga is coming back. Since he left about 2,000 years ago and you're in your room relaxing and you really expect him to say, I understand. I know it's fine. No, don't bother to, it's just me, Jesus. No big deal. Don't worry, your reward is just waiting for you. Everything is fine. You are cool. Treat me like trash. You'll be fine. I'm a good God. I love you. I'm telling you. Is it not me that told you? Live how you are, normal. Prepare nothing. When I get to your house, let there be nothing. Let there be nothing you have done. Don't even buy petrol. Don't on gen. Don't do nothing. Let me enter darkness. You know what? You sit at my right hand. You rule with me. For that's exactly the kind of wife I've been looking for. Is it not the type you've been looking for? It's not the type. The people on this side don't like this company. Is it not okay? Perfectly okay. Any wife? 2,000 years only. Yes. Let's come back. No, she trusts you. Listen. The preachers told her that you're a husband of love. That when you see her, you'll be drooling. Ah, my beauty, hey. Yeah, you're not even dressed. Ah. Yeah, I haven't had a bath too. That. No light in this house, but no problem. I love you. Does Jesus look like someone God is punishing? You think about it. Do you think God wants to punish Jesus or bless him? God has anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. No, he has already laid down his life at his Father's instance. There's no way. Why do you think, am I just saying these things, or does the Bible say he's coming back for a bride that has made herself ready? Have you read that before? So he has been sending materials in Ephesians 5. He has been sending soap. We saw a little the other day. Unfortunately, I had some of this tarry meetings where, so I don't know if what I shared was doing a church, a day church meeting, or was just to some people in the tarry meeting. But Ephesians 5 says that he's sending water to sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of water through the word, and to present her to himself as a glorious church without stain or wrinkle or any such blemish, but holy and blameless. He has been sending the soup, you know, but Malachi 3, what day was that? Malachi 3, that he's going to sit as a refiner of gold and silver so that the people of God may offer sacrifices that are acceptable as in days of old. So he has been doing all of that, preparing his bride. Now a season will come where it's going to get extra hot for the bride. That's Malachi 3. He's going to put her through fire. We saw it and we glanced off. Was it Sunday? We glanced off Isaiah 33 very briefly, verse 14. You know, says, who can endure? I think this is so important. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Trembling grips the ungodly. Who of us can dwell with a consuming fire? Have you heard before that our God is a consuming fire? Hebrews chapter 12. Who of us can dwell with a consuming fire? Who of us can dwell with everlasting flames, aeonian flames? And then he begins to give the list. Now, there are messages we have thought on this, so if you can find them from whenever, 2017, 18, 19, listen to them. Listen to them, the qualifications, because there are people who can dwell in fire. And you might say, no, nobody would do that. No, you have to do it. It's the only way. Our God is a consuming fire. Is it not God you want to meet? Our God is a consuming fire. God, our God, he is consuming fire. Hebrews 12, 29. The Bible tells you in the book of Exodus, chapter, I think between 19, when the Lord says, come, let me talk to you and all that, up to 20 and on, the Bible tells you that Moses saw, the children of Israel saw on the mountain, they saw Mount Sinai completely enveloped in smoke. 19 verse 18. Because the Lord had descended on it in fire. And the smoke rose like the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mountain quaked violently. All right. So the children of Israel looked down and what they saw was this fire. Now the Bible tells us that Moses went up into this thing. He went up. But when Moses went up, it was like smoke. Verse 20, the Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the summit. So Moses went up. He went up. And it was like a cloud. He entered, he waited 6 days, and then he ascended. There's something about approaching God. Amongst the things it will do, it will terrify you. To scare you. God is fearful. God is fearful like that. When the people look down, they're terrified because it was scary to see. But when you approach him as you should, he will do something else. I'd like to show you something. In chapter 20, verse 18 to 21. Read it.
When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sounding of the ram horn, the ram's horn, and the mountain enveloped in smoke, they trembled and stood at a distance.
Did you see that? What happened when they beheld a little of the Lord's majesty? They trembled and did what?
And stood at a distance.
What happens when God reveals himself a bit more clearly? It causes fear. You're going to see more soon. Keep going.
Speak to us yourself and we will listen, they said to Moses. But do not let God speak to us or we will die. Do not be afraid, Moses replied. For God has come to test you so that the fear of him may be before you to keep you from sinning. And the people stood at a distance as Moses approached the thick darkness where God was.
Go back to verse 20. God has come to When God shows himself as fire to his people, he has come to
test you.
Why? Test them. What's the test?
So that they may fear.
Everyone read. So that the fear of him may be before you to keep you from
sinning.
Remember what the book of Proverbs says. It says, through the fear of God, men depart from sin. How many of you don't want to be sinning? You want to overcome sin. You want to stop sinning. You know the encounter you need? You've been told that the encounter you need is love. The encounter you need is called fear. It's the fear of God that will stop you from sinning. I'll repeat it. How many of you want to stop sinning? Want to overcome sin? How many of you know sinners will not approach God? How many of you know the prayer of a sinner is an abomination to the Lord? How many of you want your prayer to be an abomination to God? How many of you want your prayer to be acceptable to the Lord? A sweet smelling incense. Aha. So if you want to be able to talk and God pays attention, you're going to learn to be righteous. You're going to do righteousness. For the ears of the Lord are open to the prayers of the righteous. Do not be deceived. Little children, 1 John 3, somebody, this is for you. He that does righteousness is righteous. You are created for good works in Christ. If any man is in Christ, all things are past. In Christ, you do good works. Oh, in Christ, I'm fine. I don't need to do anything. You have drunk Ogogoro. The spelling is as pronounced. For those who don't know, just check Google. Ogogoro. O-G-O-G-O-R-O. Ogogoro. The English version is G-I-N. Gin. You have drunk something hot. It's affecting your head. I'm going to do what I like. Jesus did for me. Ah, you should read your Bible. If any man be in Christ Jesus, I'll repeat it. So it's sinking. All things are passed away. All things are new. Yep. That's scripture. 2 Corinthians 5. Ephesians 2. You're not saved by works, but by grace. Yep. Verse 8. Move down to verse 10. You were created in Christ Jesus for good works from the foundation of the world. You're not doing good works. You're not even in Christ Jesus. You're a storyteller. You're one of the storytellers on the earth. There are very many. By your mouth, you draw near to God, but your heart is far from him. In words, you are one thing. In deeds, you are another thing. Any version of Christianity that tells you your deeds don't matter has completely ignored all of the scripture to arrive at that conclusion. You have to have really tried hard. You ignored all scripture. You came to a conclusion. That's impressive. To gather all the condiments for a cake and come out with water. I didn't say that well. To have all the ingredients necessary to make a pot of soup. And you somehow prepared pap without sugar. How did you do that? You're a magician. There's a blessing that must be kept for you, for magic. How did you do that? I'm impressed. Forget the soup. I'm so impressed by how you use leaves, pepper, okra, maggi, and produce pap, white. You read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Let's say you slept from Genesis to Jude. Then you wake up in Revelation. Everybody knows we wake up when they share the grace. The book of Revelation is the grace. You didn't wake up when they shared the grace. Okay, you didn't wake up all of the 22 chapters. Okay, 21 chapters. Chapter 22, you still didn't wake up? You didn't wake up when the master was ending by saying, let him that is unclean be unclean. You didn't even hear the closing sentences where he said he's coming. You still somehow found it. No, it doesn't matter what you do. Jesus did it all. You ignored Genesis, your father, Adam and Eve. You ignored them. Say, that was them. You got to Jesus as he was stepping off the scene. Judas pulled one fasting. He took Judas' life. That's them. After Judas, Ananias and Sapphira, say, that was them. Okay, Paul made it very clear that certain people will not inherit the kingdom. You say, Paul, I take you on grace. I reject all else. Paul is saying, come, we are not setting aside the law, come. Does grace set aside the law? God forbid. You like Paul, you should have stopped before you got to the God forbid. You found every way. Okay, leave Paul. Maybe he has gone back to his old Jewish ways. He said he was a Pharisee, you know. So let's find John, the beloved, the one, the apostle of love. John is harsher than them all. If you didn't read chapter 2, you should read chapter 3. If you didn't read chapter 3, you should read 1 John chapter 4. Okay, at the very end of chapter 5, all left you. Little children, keep yourself from idols, including the idol you have made before yourself of something that is not God. A doctrine, falsehood. You choose to believe this thing. You insist. You know, if you paint something with gold long enough, example, a piece of stick. You paint a stick with gold. Did Isaiah tell us about these people that paint things and then bow down to it? He was in awe. He said, wait. Someone goes into the bush, cuts down wood, uses some of the wood to cook, then cuts the rest, shapes it and uses it and says, you are my God. And he was like, what? You just made God? Who made you? Anything covered in gold becomes an idol. Any idea, any concept, anything at all that you take and cover and make it look nicer than it was. You dip it, gild it. Go and read Isaiah 44. You see that? Anything at all like that is you are off. You're about to make, you have taken something and colored it what it is not. So you take the word of God, a portion of it, you color it gold, and then start saying, yay, whoa, ha, this is, it doesn't, as long as it's not God, it's an idol. The reason the Lord comes as a consuming fire is to teach his people to fear him, to respect him, to keep from sinning. For that is what the fear of God does. He doesn't want you to sin. What put us in the trouble? Is it not sin? How many of you know the book of Genesis starts with the Lord making a garden and putting man in it, and that the book of Revelation ends with the Lord making a garden and putting men in it? So God is doing his best to restore us to factory settings. Are you understanding? Restore. Let's go back to the original plan. Man, women, everybody, come on. Stop. Let's go back. 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 Are you guys enjoying this dry place? This outside the garden experience? You're not. Let's go back. The devil is saying, stop them. Stop them. Stop them. The moment they go back, we lose our kingdom. How dare you listen to the devil? How did the devil take over? Sin. It's always sin. Sin is the great danger. If you allow sin, so the Lord comes, you know, how do we help them? What did God do when he moved Adam and Eve out of the garden and blocked the tree of life? What was in front of that tree of life? Guess. Cherubim. With what? Watery swords. Swords of fire. Fire. Lest he reach out his hand and take from this tree and eat and live forever in his sinful nature. No. So it will be a sin for him to eat it. It wasn't a sin for him to eat it before, but because he sinned the other way, if he eats this now, it will be a sin. How does God block him, stop him from this other sin, this additional massive sin? He puts fire in front of him. God brings fire to teach us and stop us from sinning, from doing that which is a no. So when God wants to clean up his church, he's going to unleash fire. And that fire comes. It comes in different ways. Comes through persecution and so on. But it also comes through testing. When it is God, it's testing. He allows things get hot to see how you will respond. He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and put them through the wilderness. That was a fiery trial. That was a test to see, to test them if they will sin. Anytime God allows you enter fiery situations, it's to see what will come out. Every time you pass that, well, good for you. You have a period of promotion, and then they'll test you again. If you pass promotion, then they'll test you again. It's a very simple thing. What does it sound like? School? Sounds like when you went to school, right? Aha. God has a right to run a school, right? He calls it the earth. He calls it your life on earth. That's your school. He's testing us constantly and promoting, testing, promoting, testing. You fail, repeat, fail, repeat, fail, repeat. All the time, testing, fail, demote. This happens. The quicker you understand it, the easier it becomes. Well, at least, easier in the sense of at least you understand how far. You start to understand why the apostles will say things like, all things work together for the good of those who love God. You're like, oh no, I know exactly how to handle this. Oh, all things. Oh, I'm going to do well. Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. It's a terrible thing that happened to you. Nope. God is in charge. It's okay. And they are trying to help. Well, get worked up. You're repeating that a course. I tried my best. That happened. Who knows if I even failed. I even think I was oppressed. But God help us. This will work for my good. You can allow the fires, the tests to work his nature into you. In the midst of this, I will not sin. I will not open my mouth. I will not curse God. Whatever fire I'm going through is not like Job. So I give God praise. And you continue. You pass your test. You pass your test. It's hot. But you come out like everything else you have tested. You know the things you have tested in this life before you tasted. You enjoyed it, right? I love it when meat is soft. If that meat could talk, here's how the conversation would go. This thing you're doing to me, if they do it to you, would you like it? In the same way, you, when you're tested by God, fire in the pot, you're supposed to get softer, not harder. Boom. You know meat that you go, it says, Odeshi. Like that kind of meat. Who has eaten food like that? Who has eaten yam that was not done? The thing now, you need to pry it out of your teeth. Spoon. One, two. You know that's what happens when the fire has not done its work. Everybody understands that. No, raw food. Yee. Woo, chicken that wasn't cooked well. Horrible. Horrible. Did I hear someone say, I don't mind? Okay. It's supposed to be horrible. I know things that can be tough, but come on, don't do that. Raw chicken, don't do that. Raw chicken is not funny. Not to talk about the one where the feather is sticky. Oh, it's affecting you. What about goats? You find some fur. Again, I'm not going deep or personal. I know some of you just swallowed, just went on. Like, she threw you away. You know the price of goods. But you know that fire, if it does its work, that goat is more enjoyable. All of us love fire on others. And the God who feeds on our worship, on our lives, looks at us and says, I like the smell of you when you've been through fire. It's a sweet smelling savor. You are the smell of life to those that are living. How much more to the living God? It's to those that are dying that you are the smell of death. Give me that scripture. The same person, when you pass through fire, according to the will of God. According to the will of God. 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are to God the sweet aroma of Christ among those who are being saved. There are those that the salvation of the soul. What's that called? Sanctification. Amongst those that are being saved, for someone reading that and wondering, what does it mean by being saved? That's not someone that is being justified. That's someone that is being sanctified. He's being justified. Remember, salvation is what was, what is happening, and what will be. Spirit, soul, and body. So, your spirit is saved. When you give your life to Jesus, you are justified. But your soul is being saved as you keep receiving the washing of the water by the word, and God is purifying, setting you aside, cleansing you up, and your body will be saved when Jesus appears and you get a brand new body, what people call the rapture. Bible calls the resurrection. So there will be a transformation. The three salvations, the three stages of God's salvation. Now, being saved among people who are being sanctified, when they observe you and they hear your story about what you went through and how good came from it, is a sweet smell. It's like, wow, that's so awesome. And people go like, God, help me too. Help me. Let me be like that. And they tell you, this happened, but this is what, and I, God helped me and this. And sorry, a sweet aroma. It's not perfume. It's perfume, but it's a perfume of burning flesh. Why I smell roasted meat? Suya. You like it? Be crossing the road when you get to that junction. Use the other side. Now, we're just sharing the solution for when you can't do anything about it. Just cross. There are two stages when you can't do anything about suya. One is the more common reason. You don't have money. Two, you have money, but the doctor said, you know it. You see life? Be happy where you are. Be happy where you are. Just be happy. God is good. We will have a new body. How can I have money? I'll eat suya every day. Are you sure? We never eat meat at all. You may be told, don't eat meat at all. Suya man, eh? Well done, well done. But he does not call you customer because you do not buy. Not because he can't afford it, but they said don't eat meat. So it's not just lack of money that is a problem. Believe it. There's a smell of roasting. And when people observe in the life of one who is being roasted by God, or God is allowing to be tested and is roasting his fires of God's will, it's a sweet smell. Their stories are beautiful. Their tales, oh, it's a wonderful thing. It's encouraging. It's challenging. It challenges you to do better. It drives you forward. Then there are those who are perishing. This translation, give me another translation. There are those that say you're the smell of life. I don't even like this translation. Sweet aroma doesn't cut it. The smell of life and the smell of death. Smell of life and the smell of death. If, let me see. Read that. Oh, verse 16. Ah, you're the one that was hoarding scripture. It's the next verse. Skip, read.
To the one, we are an author of death. And
so, to those that are being saved, those being sanctified, that have the same mind, let's grow in God, let's grow in grace. You are
an author of death.
The second one. A fragrance
that brings life.
That brings life. Have you seen? To one, you're a fragrance that brings life. After they finish hearing you tell your story about how God taught you how to pray, they leave there and say, I'm going to be with God, my prayer life. When they say, let's pray. Oh, after the preacher said everything he said, all you remember is the testimony. Lord, give me power, a spirit of prayer and supplication. Something else happened because there were a smell that brought you to life. Are you understanding? Their story stirred you up. But to the other one, to those who are perishing, you are
an
odor of death and demise. Do you know what that is? As they listen to you. Listen, I'm giving you how to test yourself. When you hear someone telling a story or sharing what God has been doing, however they shared it, and you sit down and say, God forbid, God forbid. And you decide, I have to stay real. This thing, no wonder I will never pray that kind of prayer. God, because you're an order of death. That's a perishing person. That's the person who is on the other path. Every time you hear things that sound challenging of someone being roasted for Jesus, all you see is death and I'll lose this. I'll give up this. My plans, my marriage, my money, my fame, my popularity. No, you don't do it. On the outside, you're like this. Inside, everybody saw you being cool. Let's discuss what we did not see. God forbid, if I leave here today, I'm not coming back. God forbid, what kind of nonsense messages? God forbid. God, this man doesn't know anything. What is he talking about? That God will put you through fire. Our God is not a consuming fire. You're laughing. A very popular preacher in this town said it. I heard it straight from his mouth. I couldn't believe he said it. I thought it was a mistake. Someone showed me the transcript. I thought it was an error. Then someone sent me the audio. Many years ago, I was like, he said it too. The audio was worse than the written part. I was there saying, he read, he opened scriptures on fire. I don't know, maybe he used his tab and opened it. He didn't check it well before he started talking. So he just went off. Say, God can never be a fire. God can never be. Just like someone saying God is a lion. God can never be a lion. He opened Baga. He just read. One of the scriptures is the one we just read. That exact Hebrews 12. He says, for our God is a consuming fire. God can never be. The next sentence was that God can never be a fire. I entered a new dimension of grace. Grace do not go mad. I was like, you just read it. He read it, counted. In the same tumultuous sermon. It wasn't a sermon, it was a few minutes of disaster. In those few seconds, he also said, God can never be a lion. Then he opens the part again, that same, you know, preachers, we can look to a reference, a link of similar scriptures. He just read. And around the throne was one with the face of a lion, the face of a, this thing. Where he just jumped in. Just when he said, a lion is the devil. He can never be a good thing. He's a destroyer. I was like, come back, sir. Just I was online. Come back. You just read about a lion that stands in front of the throne of God. That is one of the four beasts around the throne. What? How are you going to keep reading scriptures? You read it directly and counter it. It was so unbelievable. I proposed in my heart that the day I want to punish someone, I'll send them to go and sit under. If you're not tormented, you're a spiritual sadist or something, because you cannot. That same preacher, how many years ago? About 10 years before that, I was passing my TV. Now they work out, they go, man, TV they on. I don't know who owned it. Maybe my wife. TV said, someone says anything against me, slap him. So that's how I paused. I waited for him to smile and say, now, so I can't wait since. Like, complete the joke now. I don't say he was not joking. I'm not playing. He was not joking. He repeated it. Slap him. You have not committed a crime. Anyone criticize me. I now remember that someone had told me years before that he said, if they slap you on this side, that Jesus said, turn the other side. Anything you find, carry and scatter their head. I now went, wait, you mean that sister was telling the truth? Because when she said it, I said, stop it, you're lying. He said, I'm serious. I said, don't exaggerate that. She said, I'm not joking. He said, when I saw someone say that he can just slap someone for mentioning their pastor, can you picture, just say that pastor, he doesn't know what he's preaching. Or which Bible school did he go to? Next thing, boah! I thought he was joking. He was not joking. Because of that, I watched him for 2 minutes. He was not playing. I was traumatized. It's obvious I've not overcome it. How many years now? 2008 or 9? It's 2024. I asked for healing. Same person. God is not a lion. God is not a fire. God is everything. God is. Then what? You have taken everything that God said he is. What is he left with? Someone has 7 certificates. You took away all. What have you left? What was the purpose of going to school? You'll be seizing certificates. Poor God. God is a consuming fire. You should know it while you're alive. Or you find out after you die. God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. You know one of the problems with fire is amongst the four things that are never satisfied. Not like going to say, I don't chop. You don't do. Fire. Fire does not know that. If you didn't watch the news some years ago, it was burning Australia, burning the USA. Just burning cities, burning forests, just burning. Doesn't stop. All of modern man's technology could barely stop it. It just kept eating forests. The area it ate was as big as Nigeria in some places. You have no clue. Can you picture fire burning in Australia? Is a continent that is a country. The whole continent is a country. It just kept burning. In Siberia, that's Russia, burning, burning. Massive swaths of land. That's how it, God doesn't go like, you know, I'm tired of. The Bible tells you that once the world that was destroyed by water. Only 8 people were left. Have you read that before? 8. He said that the world which is presently here is being kept for fire. What water once did, fire will do. I'm telling you in advance, it's not like the fire will get tired. It's a lake. You just keep going. Nobody say you go tired. Say, I don't chop. Maybe no chop again. You don't do, we go chop tomorrow. Fire does not wait for tomorrow. It just goes on. Give it breath and give it kindling. Give it something to burn. God said you shouldn't try him. That is a fire. And that he will do what fire does when the day comes. Is this supposed to make you afraid? Yes, of sinning. You should fear God. What I mean is God doesn't get, listen, let me give you the interpretation because you haven't gotten it. God is going to say, let's not kill again. I'm tired. Mm-mm. Consuming fire does not get tired. Not like God. I'm weary. I'm weary. No, I just told you, he killed everybody on earth. There were 8 people left. He's not squeamish. You are the one who is squeamish. Don't do again, don't do again. Yeah, me said my hand was paining me. Mm-mm. He watches Israel, does not sleep or slumber. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't say it's night, let's stop burning. No, it's night. Yes, so? Just listen. Thank God that time has not come. The fullness of that time has not come. But it's coming. For those who don't know, it's coming. It's called the day of the Lord. It's called the last day. It's called the day of judgment. It's a season. It's not a 24-hour day. It's a period of time when the Lord is going to put his earth, which is his, on fire. He's going to purge it thoroughly. He has a right to. Who has ever burnt an old cloth here before? He said that's how he's going to tear your sky. Tear. He wants to put up a new one. Like a canopy. That's how he set up your sky. Rakia. It's a canopy. He stretched it out. He's going to remove it. He's going to do a new one. This one is messed up. Human beings have messed it up. When you mess up, it messes it up. But I've seen a dirty canopy, tarpaulin. He's going to remove it because he needs to rework it. Remember, it's his own. Once in a while, someone forgets and says, this is our earth. Have you heard all these scientists? Who has said all these people on earth? Big people, small, saying that they need to preserve the earth, keep it well, because so that our descendants want that they have to plan well, maybe do something with Mars so they can have where to keep. That the way earth is going, you know, there will be nothing left for us. You know, for you to talk like that, you don't believe in the Bible. You're confused as to, is it your earth? The earth is the Lord. Now the Lord get the earth. He's going to wash his thing when it's done. You remove the canopy, the top part. You remove the bottom part. You use fire and blow touch it. It's his earth. Just be in the correct place when he's doing it. You don't want to be an ant. And they are blood. They call it the resurrection. When they say come on road, carry all those ants, keep on top of that shelf. You now stay there. Say me, I don't believe in that. You will. There's coming a day where it would be a good thing to have been a proper disciple. Where everything that's happening, say, I told you. I picture everyone, I told you. I told you guys. And some people, everything, Ewa, Ewa, Ewa. Mountains fall on me. For what? Is it your mountain? It will just be doing things. You should have believed. You should have believed. Everyone should believe. Now listen, so I don't forget to show you. I'm still showing you Moses and his encounter. You're looking at chapter 24. You know, I said Exodus 19 to 24. 24 verse 15 to 17. In summary, that point. When Moses went up on the mountain, read, the cloud covered it. So when he went up, what did he encounter? A cloud. Do you remember how it was from the bottom? Violence, thunder, lightning. But when he went into it, it was a cloud. Who would like to touch a cloud here? Who has wished? You can't wait till the day you can touch a cloud. Good. Now he entered it. It was cloud nine experience. And the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days, the cloud covered it. And on the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. I thought the Lord was in the fire. To Moses, he was in the cloud. I was explaining what brought us here was about how two people have the same experience. You're in the same space. You're seeing the same thing. And it's completely different experiences. Listen very carefully. Next verse. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the mountaintop. Read. In the eyes of the Israelites. The glory of the Lord was in the eyes of the Israelites like a consuming fire. To Moses, it was
a cloud.
Clouds look hot or cool. Consuming fire looks consuming. Extra hot. Is this the same glory of the Lord? To one, it is a cloud. Years ago, God showed me this, and I went like, I think I prefer the cloud experience. And when you approach God, it's not like, Sometimes the Lord approaches a people, a place. He comes. You sense he's coming. He sends messages, I'm coming. And people react differently. Some run away. Pell mell. They are so terrified. His name was Job. Lot. His name was Lot. It's scary, but he lives. To the others, he consumes them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Same fire. They have ropes on them. They come out of it. No more ropes. No smell of fire. Nothing. The experience leaves them freer than they were before they entered it. All the people that helped them get into that fiery situation, dead. His name was Daniel. Enters a lion's den, spends the night, comes out. Those guys that helped him get into it encounter the lions, but they actually don't encounter the den. Because the scriptures say before they touch the ground, the lion said, where have you been? Dinner. Are you listening? Same lion's den. Same fire. Same. Who wants to be fireproof, lion proof? Who wants to be proofed against destruction? Question, how do you become that? Let me say a few things. You know, many people say or ask, like, I can't do what God really wants because I'm too afraid. Do you think Moses was afraid? Who knows? Who does not know Moses was afraid? Go to chapter 12. The Bible tells you in the book of Hebrews that Moses was afraid, exceeding afraid and trembling, even before he got to the cloud level. Hebrews 12, 21. Read for me.
The sight was so terrifying that even Moses said, I am trembling with fear.
Even Moses said. So before you think Moses went like this, why are you guys afraid? Cool. And he just threw like that majestically into the cloud. No, that's not what happened. When that quaking and shaking was happening up there, lightning and thunder, Moses was also, and you have to be the leader. Joshua, where's my staff? You know how you hold that staff. Okay. Moses was also going through that. He was trembling. He didn't say, I was afraid in my mind. To tremble means to shake. He was shaking. Please listen to me. Listen to me, because too many of us, child of God, your attitude is that the people that serve God, the people that God uses, the people that God can do anything with, the people that have God's grace, you know, those are special people. It's not my type. Me, I'm a coward. You don't know me. You don't, if you know how I shake inside, you don't know. But these ones, fearless souls, I admire them so much. I wish I could be like them. I came to wake you up. I'll give you a list. Jacob. Jacob has fears. His fears are significant. They are enough for him to tell lies. Someone asks him for small food. He starts going into things like, can you give me your birthright? You know, to open your mouth and tell your older brother a thing like that, you really have issues. That you could phrase it and say it out. Will you sell me your birthright for food? Just that, who knew the older brother was a fool? Who knew that someone could say, take it? Birthright. Yeah. It's like the guy couldn't believe his good luck. He probably gave him extra. I take your eating it too. You see, you're eating. I put four meat too. Four pieces of meat. I put. Enjoy. Do you want more? To really hold that birthright. What do you think Jacob may have been afraid of that made him come up with a plan like that? Answer is likely that he had heard about Abraham, he had heard of Isaac, his father, the blessing of Abraham, and had been very afraid that he may not get it. He desired such things. He desired such things. But how to get it? Fear makes us do wrong things. Major reason for most of the sin on earth is fear. Primary reason for most sin is because we were afraid. We are afraid we will lose it, lose the chance. So we compromise. We give ourselves excuses as to why. It's a test. It's a fiery test by itself. The tests of fear. It tests you. And will you do the right thing even though you're afraid? How can I repeat a whole year? How can I repeat a semester? How will I eat? How, where will I live? What will happen to me? What? So those strong, strong fears make us disobey God. He likely had heard the prophecy from his mother, for he was a man of the tent. He stayed in the house a lot. Esau was a roaming man. That's how he found two wives before his brother married any. He had two. When you waka a lot, your eye is everywhere. You have many suitors or love interest. You do the waka. So you see too many things. You know, for those that think that if something happens late, no, some don't even think late. They think that I'll never have the chance if you stay in one place. A man traveled a long distance and came and married Rachel and Leo. They were in their father's house. That's how they married their mother, Rebecca. Someone arrived from a far country. So with a fine wife. That is one way to be married. Esau was roaming. He saw one Hittite girl. I said, they marry. Saw another one. I said, they marry. When his parents found I didn't like, he found another one, Ishmael's daughter. Married. The first two had caused enough grief to his parents. Sometimes your wackashiousness may end up causing grief to everybody that really matters. Because your head is everywhere. Esau's head was everywhere. Jacob's head was at home. Calm. When you're at home, you hear your father and mother a bit more. You're hearing. You're hearing. So a desire is built based on the company you keep. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Keep walking up and down, moving up and down. You hear people that say, ah, Esau, you never marry. Esau, you never marry. Esau, how far now? Esau, have you not seen that again? Esau. Marry one, marry two. Marry. Jacob is in the house. He looks like he's not going anywhere with his life. No, no, no. He became a country. You're not hearing me. A good country. His brother became a country too. He became a better country. He had 12 sons. He started late, but he had 12 sons. You dare not do things under pressure. Evil pressure. There's good pressure. Then there's wrong pressure. I'm in a haste. I'm competing. My brother has two already. I need to rush. So because your brother has two, you know who your brother brings forth? One of his grandsons is Amalek. Your brother is going to generate all sorts of wrong numbers. That your bro. When your mother is a Hittite, if she can cause pain to her in-laws steadily, grief. Bible says they pumped grief out like, good morning. Rebecca, Mama, Rebe. Say, am I your mate? You come. Rebe. You have pepper. In fact, I'm just talking. I already took it. Look now. I wasn't there, but Genesis 26 verse 35. And they brought grief to Isaac and Rebekah. Do you know what it means to be able to bring grief to your father-in-law? You are extra bad. You have to really try. The man couldn't even see. They found a way to go to where he was, causing grief. You think they were small? These people were bad girls. These were bad girls. How do you curse a man? Men, women can quarrel and talk, and because they interact, they are like, I don't know what kind of daughter-in-law this man went and brought. But how do you get it to your father-in-law? You must really be trying. I want to marry. What did you marry? Grief. Who could? Jabez. People are changing name. You're creating. Funny guy. Esau. Hasty guy. Walked in with his two legs and sold his birthright for a plate of food. Some people say he was dying. Don't be silly. He walked in there. They didn't carry him. How many of you used to hear long ago he was dying? Please go and be reading your Bible. That's how I found out these things were not true. He walked in with his two legs. He was talking. Have you seen someone dying from hunger before? They are weak. How many of you, after one day fasting, you almost... You can't remember. You can't remember that time. How many of you, they made you fast 3 days. God forgive your mother, but... Yes? Forgive. Forgive. This is a time for forgiveness. So let's do it. Your mother made you fast 3 days. This is a time of healing. You won't grab the chance now. Just raise your hand like this. Come on. Do it. More and more hands are coming. Come on, in all the halls. Yes, wherever you are. May the Lord heal your soul. Amen. Forgive your mother and bless her. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Or was he your father? Was he your father? Waiting, concern the man. There are more mystic jobs. That's that one. She can do it. Come. That's where you start thinking, she wants to kill me. I Jacob was at home. He was with his mother in the tent. That's why his mother could see him. Do you know how many times she would have told him? Do you know before you were born, I had a prophetic word that you would be greater than your brother. Do you know how many times he said, Mommy, stop it? Do you know how many times? Till she said, come, I'm going to organize something for you. And she organized it. You talk strong because you've heard what others said. You speak harshly. It was Jacob the supplanter. The whole machinery of that event was by Rebecca. And me, I'm not here to blame. Yes, now this guy has sold that thing since. You've sold something. It's not just receipt that is remaining. What are you saying? You sold it for a plate of food. The Bible tells you in the book of Hebrews chapter, he had sold it, that it shouldn't be like Esau. He had finished selling it. Stop trying to blame Jacob. I don't know what all this blaming. Yes, Jacob has more wuru-wuru, but it was for better thing. Didn't he settle him? He didn't read that he settled Esau? Oh, even the scraps of the blessing his father gave him. And by the way, Jacob, everything he had, for those who have not heard it before, he didn't collect it from Esau or from Isaac. He traveled empty hand with a stick. He came back with mighty droves. The blessing on him, it wasn't money, it was something else, but it was the blessing that came through the lineage of Abraham, not through Edom. Edom is Esau's lineage. Edom. Edom did not carry the blessing, did not continue. It's Jacob. His mother organized it, coordinated it, managed it, executed it, and said, if your father curses you, it will lay be on me. It was covered. The guy had insurance. My God. It was like indemnity. He was covered on all angles. So he was afraid. And you're not hearing me. He was afraid. I want to introduce you to fearful number one, Jacob. Don't be thinking that Jacob walked in. You know what? I'm going to do that thing. No, he did it with fear and trepidation. Step by step. He moved to a foreign land because his parents said move. He got there. He served. 7 years for a wife. They deceived him. Gave him 14 years hard labor. He did it. For a wife only. With food to eat. And then he went on. And he went on like that. Went on like that. 20 years later. He had his fears. He moved from there. He was terrified. But who is it that had told him to move back? He was comfortable where he was. He had greater heads. He was already richer in the business he was doing than his mentor. And his father-in-law, well, I don't know if it was his mentor, but the person who started him in business, who he learned business with. He may have learned it from his father, Isaac, but I'm saying that the person he was with in shepherding, he had opened that, his oga had two shops in Ariaria. He had 20. Are you listening to me? He was already way beyond his oga. It is God that came to Jacob. I won't open the Bible much. If my person, a Bible guy can keep it, but this, just gonna read the book of Genesis. You know, don't stress yourself. Pay attention because I'm flying and I want to say a number of things. I want to show you real examples so we can pray. Jacob had fears. God came to him and said, stand up and go back to Bethel where I appeared to you. That was fearful. On his way there, he didn't go. They entered Shechem. Bad things happened. Terrifying things. His sons became murderers, killed all the men there. Why did one man rape our sister? We kill all the men. So they slaughtered all. Their father Jacob said, what is wrong with you? He left there. If not for God's hand that put fear on all the surrounding nations, they would have wiped them out. I'm showing you Jacob's life. Fearful events. Fearful events. Fear. There was a time his father-in-law was pursuing him. When he met him, he said, if not that God spoke to me last night, I would have dealt with you now. Fears. Before he met Esau, he bowed down 7 times. Who bows to your brother and sister? Who bows to their sibling? Your sibling that you're twins with. You're not hearing me. How many of you know you can, your older brother who is 10 years, 15 years older than you can say senior? How many of you know you can be humble? It can be like an uncle a little, depending on the circumstances. How many of you know the one that 2 years difference? Enough fighting before you get in. How many of you know that the one that you and them were born the same day? There's nothing you are. Nonsense. For those who don't remember, Jacob and Esau were twins. This guy bowed down to his twin 7 times. Who does that? Nobody else on earth. Bow down to your twin. They mad. But to your twin, same day. Now I come out. As you're coming, I was holding your heel. Come back. Where they go? We're born at the same time. What are you talking about? He bowed down to him. I repeat, he was terrified. Absolutely terrified. He spent the whole night fighting. He prayed till an angel appeared to answer it. He wouldn't leave. He grabbed. This guy dragged an angel. Dragged. He was terrified. I'm showing you Jacob, the fearful one. Number one. Fearful one. Did Jacob fulfill destiny? Oh, yes. Yes. They changed his name through his fear. Through his fear. He went on and on and on. His son died. Favorite son. Didn't really die, but died. His wife, favorite wife, real wife, main wife, number one wife, died. Sorrowful things happened. After that event, God said, go to Bethel. Is it not what I told you from the beginning? He went to Bethel. After he got to Bethel, he got up and then went to his father. His father died later. They buried him. He left that place and he went to and dwelt in the land of Canaan. Then his favorite son, the son of his favorite wife, first son of his favorite wife, the one that should have been his first son before those shenanigans, the one that should have been the first, they said a wild animal killed him. He sorrowed. And then they came and said that the right hand of Pharaoh said you should bring the second son of that, your favorite wife that died. Terror filled him. He agreed to let's die of hunger. They said if we don't go with our brother Benjamin, they will not sell us food. He wouldn't budge. Till the food finished, he pretended he didn't remember. Go and buy bread. The people said that man told us so clearly that it's a waste of time. So don't even bother. We are not even bothering to go back. It won't work. They held down our brother to keep hold him in custody. Have you forgotten? His old age worrying you, daddy. And he started lamenting again. You know the story. I'm showing you a life full of fears. When they asked him, Pharaoh asked him, so how old are you? Say 130, but my life has been hard and bitter, short, unlike my father. Those that went before me. A tough life. But he had the 12 sons that were needed. He provided the foundation for the nation of Israel. In his little obediences of going and coming. Jacob, in all his fears, is considered to have fulfilled his purpose. He provided the foundation. The names of those his sons are in the gates of the heavenly Jerusalem. Are you listening? Another person that went through great fears and accomplished God's will is Joseph. I don't need to say much. He tried to be honest. His brothers hated him for it. They sold him. He would try to do good, kept entering trouble. Tell the truth. Potiphar, why are you not trusting me? This is your wife, Jezebel's wife. But threw him into prison, asked for help. You expect help, he doesn't come. I just skipped completely his brothers, threw him into a pit. They wanted to kill him. Fears. And then he comes out of the prison, tells them, this is what God has said about your dream. He doesn't suggest himself. He says, let Pharaoh find a man. Pharaoh says, I will appoint you to be the man. Joseph fulfilled destiny. Moses, we already spoke about Moses. Many fears. Born early, looks at it, struggles, grows up in the palace, but moves over to his people. And there kills someone in defending his brothers. And then his brothers betray him. He takes off running. Ends up being a shepherd. Egyptians had nothing to do with sheep. Story of Joseph will tell you that. He says that sheep herding is an abomination to Egyptians. They don't do it. This guy grew up in a palace in Egypt. But what does he become? 40 years later, he's a sheep rearer. Acts 7 says, Moses was mighty in word and in deeds. But in Exodus, when God appears and in the fire in the bush, he says, go for me. He says, God, I can't talk. I think it may be because of being around animals that do a lot. Don't be deceived. Your company. Oh, anybody that stammered knows that your friend was stammering. Yes, no. You've forgotten? Who has been around someone that stammers, and he started rubbing on you, started doing it. It's not as a joke, real. Terrible something, very real. I know it. It happened to me as a child. Terrible thing. So, come and go and tell Pharaoh something. I can't talk. God gives him multiple signs. He said, please send someone else. God gets angry at him. He's terrified. Stop acting as though Moses God appeared and said, boom, in the fire. Will you go for us, Moses? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is Hollywood. I'm not saying God's voice is not awesome, but don't mix it up. And Moses stood with his rod and he went, boom. Let my people go. No, that's not what happened. Aaron. Tell him, let my people go. It's in your Bible. It's in your Bible. The Bible tells you, sit down. Since you're not telling them. Look at me. The Bible tells you that Moses would speak. He said, you will be as God unto your brother. You are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth. Exodus 4 verse 15. Moses speaks to Aaron. Aaron speaks to the people. He puts words in Aaron's mouth. I will help both of you to speak and I will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you. He will be your spokesman. And it will be as if you were God to him. So God would speak to Moses. He would hear it as a prophetic experience. He would stammer it or write it to Aaron. All those your ideas, that's not what happened. When you saw Moses show, Aaron was right there. Every time Moses leans over or tells him at home before they come out. You think you're afraid of doing God's will? Throw away your Moses. Throw away your Jacob. Throw away all those pictures you have of powerful people who did God's will. How do you think they did it? What do you think Paul means when he said, when I was among you, I was not there in all the manifestation of power or rhetoric. I was there in fear and trembling. What do you think that is? You think he was faking the fear? You think this fake, I'm a shy person now. I said I'm a shy person. Now some are telling the truth, but most are lying. Very shy. I'm quite. Those are usually very shy. Actually, most times do not tell. I am not a very bold person, so take me the way you see me. They may be telling the truth, but the truth is this: you can have all sorts of issues, and actually, those who know. Know that it is those weaknesses that makes you strong. Are you hearing me? Oh, yes. That inability is what makes you go like, God, if you fell, you know how far. Your name, oh. Your name, oh. Your name, oh. Is your name, oh, at stake, oh. The more you can, you think preaching is hard. Preaching is fearful. Because what will you say? If you want to say God's will, it's harder. If you want to say what you like, it's easier. What about miracles, healing? Talk about the opportunity to make a fool of yourself. What about seeing God's power move? Bring healing, bring deliverance. The boldness to open your mouth and say, God is going to heal. I'm sensing that God is saying this now. What if you are absolutely goofing extraordinarily? Making a royal mess. Of yourself. The reason the average child of God does not do God's will is because of fear. Fear freezes us in our tracks. And we think, and I'm here to exhort you amongst other things to tell you that those who do God's will, as one who has experienced the responsibility of doing God's will, don't think that they are always confident. In fact, if you get too confident for too long, after a while, God will help you. So God inserts weaknesses. Paul is the one who spoke about it the most. And he said that I glory in my weaknesses. And I've tried to say this. Weakness is not sinfulness. So what many preachers have now said is, they call it a weakness. Say, this is my weakness. And they're talking about sinfulness. No, that what they want to say is, this is my besetting sin. Hebrews chapter 12. A besetting sin is a sin that you seem to keep falling to, you're bound by. A sin that keeps catching up with you and That's not a weakness. When Paul said he was with them in weakness and fear and trembling, he was not saying, I was with you, going out, sneak out once in a week, sleeping with someone that I'm not married to. That's not what he was saying. That's lawlessness. 1 Corinthians 2:3. When he came to you, he was not, open the next verse, he came in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Why? How was he operating in fear and trembling and all that while demonstrating the Spirit's power? And when people read this, especially Nigerians, they say, you see, when he came, they demonstrated power. Power. That's what you see when you read that. But you're seeing wrong, because that's not what he's saying. Ah, let me mess up someone's Christian life. Brace yourself. I'm about to harm you. Bible says, let a righteous man strike me. It will be like oil on my head. I'm about to strike you. He's saying, I came in weakness, fear, and trembling. That's how I was. Not when I arrived, when I was among you. So, you see, my message and my preaching when I was among you, what you were experiencing, even though you may not know, was just a demonstration of the Spirit's power. You're not hearing. Because of how timid and fearful and the issues around my life that were happening at that time and the different things and God calling me and the ministries. Have you read about when he got to Corinth? The Bible says God told him in the Acts of the Apostles, he said, I have many people in this city. Don't be afraid. He had just run from city after city. They had been persecuting, beating him up left, right, and center. Go and find it in the book of Acts of the Apostles. He had been suffering. And then he comes to this place and God gives him respite. Acts 18, verse 9 and 10 and 11.
One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one will lay a hand on you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed for a year and a half, teaching the word of God among the Corinthians.
Have you seen that? So God had to encourage him. Go and read previous to that. Suffer head like this. They harassed him, waylaid him, tormented him. So God gave him a period of peace. For God to show up and be saying, don't be afraid. I have many people here. Don't worry. Go and read the previous chapters. From chapter 16. Philippi, he beat him. Beat him and Silas. Chapter, they suffered. But when they came here, God said, let me give you rest. Let me give you rest. Listen to me. Having issues is not a sign that God has not sent you. Usually it's a sign that you will need God. Are you hearing me? Do you remember when the children of Israel saw that fire on the mountain? The Bible says they're trembling, right? They were afraid. Do you know what that was an opportunity for now? Can you see? Who can see? What was that an opportunity for? Were they afraid and trembling when they saw the fire on the mountain and all that and everything? What is it about when you are afraid? It makes you need help. That's an opportunity for the Spirit to demonstrate its own power. For in your weakness, he is made strong. In your weakness, God. That's what God told Paul in 2 Corinthians. After he went through so many of these things, chapter 12, verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. You have a problem with weakness? That means you have a problem with Moses, with Joseph, with Jacob, with David, with all your so-called heroes of the faith. Because all of them were people who had to do God's will in the face of fears, trembling. But because they said, like Esther, if I perish, I perish. You don't say that when there's no fear of perishing. When you're going to meet your father, that you guys are like pallies, you don't go, fellow siblings, if I perish, I perish. No, you go with that attitude. What? After, daddy, that's how you arrive. Daddy, you see, give me. You know, girls are really good at it. Fraud, that's when they hug you. I've had some of our sisters hug me at the strangest time. I'm wondering, you have not hugged me. This is 4 years. You don't show any special. They want something. Someone standing there will think, hey, yeah, what in that? Me, I'm like, you know, you have to play along. Like, something I want to ask, eh? I said, wow. Just wait for it. Wait for it. They are going to ask for something. They usually get it. Sometimes, except for the sniff I made that goes, I smell utoto. I smell fraud here. I smell fraud. Someone is about to want something. Some I just go like, what do you want? I'm not saying you should stop the practice. I'm just saying that. So people do not go with fear and trembling to somebody that they are free with. He was in fear and trembling because the circumstances that God had put all these people in was fearful. You want to do God's will? You want to do it minus fear and trembling? You will never do God's will. Take it from me. You will never do God's will. Till you die, you will not do God's will. Why did that guy bury the money they gave him in Luke 19? It was the same amount, 1 mina, which is 60 drachma. The same amount, the equivalent of 2 months' salary. 1 denarius or drachma a day, daily worker. So you can do the math by averaging how much do they charge a day for a daily laborer. Anything between 3,000 to 5,000 naira now, depending on where. Some say 7,000. As of today, I was hearing 5 to 7. 3, 5, 7. Depending on if you're a mason, about 5 to 7,000 naira a day. Multiply that times 30. That's a month. Times 2. That's 1 mina. The Bible says in Luke 19, 1 pound, whatever. So do the math. And you can have an idea of how much that is in naira today. Now that you have that. They gave 10 people. One person took his own and buried. Another one took and earned 10 times the amount. Another earned 5 times the amount. I can assure you at the top of the list. I know laziness and wickedness is there. But a primary thing that makes people do and say a lot of things they do is fear. If it was so easy, they would have just gone and done it. We do easy things. Yes? No? But laziness is rooted in a fear that says, if I take on this responsibility, it might end badly. I might not finish it. I might be embarrassed. I will have to keep on doing it. They may send me to do more. Next thing, they'll take me for granted. That's how they'll be sending me. I'm not doing. So you act as though you didn't hear when they say, go and carry that thing and fetch it. Hoping your mother, who I blame small, some of them will come and say, is it not here? I said, Junior, come, go and help me. You hope they will send someone. Inside you heave a sigh of relief. Thank God. I would have become a bond servant right now. May God make your parents become like those who know. Some of us, we know all these secrets. You know very well the head. Nothing like this and that. You walk in there, they pretend it was earpiece. But when they say, come and eat, they head right through the earpiece. They called you from 2 rooms away. From the bottom of the stairs, you head through the earpiece. Then they stood by the door. They spoke to you. Go in here. What kind of magic selective filter do you have on your earpiece? Parents, you should pay me for counsel. Bring me to your house. House me for 3 days. When I leave, you have a new house. 419 children. You know, all the tricks in the book. They will pretend. Now, you know, if you agree, sometimes, so that's why you cause all that, not you. The people in the other church. You're Christians here. You pretend, you make it difficult, so they will give up on you and leave and do it themselves or send someone. It's the psychology. Children are born psychologists. They are born with it. It comes inbuilt. Their mind thinks through all this. Meanwhile, they'll be saying they are not intelligent. Very sharp things. Sharp. God sent 10 people. Some did, and some buried. And came up with stories. You're a harsh man. You reap where you don't sow. What are you talking about? I told you to do business. It's not me that was planting or reaping. I gave you to do. You that is a good man. Do it the right way now. Didn't I give you capital? I gave you the capital. Show me how it's to be done. Look for a way to tell stories about how, you know, you're a harsh man. What has that to do with me? You, good man. So, gentleman. Where's the business you did? I bet, take that which is yours. Ha! His master didn't say nonsense. No, come on, give me. No. He said they should bundle the guy. It's a crime. He said at most you should have given it to the bank. Bank could have been trading in it. You're a criminal and you deserve the judgment of criminals. And he made him pay for it in some form. Yes. It's not overlookable. I am saying that fear will not excuse you. You find a companion story in the book of Matthew chapter 25. The same story. Matthew chapter 25. Go and read it. It is not a neutral outcome you get from despising the assignment of the Lord. A master fearful one. Now, again, I didn't want to talk about Moses again, but Moses had many fear. Not once. On that mountain, thereafter, all the time, the children of Israel would challenge him, disobey him. What do you think was happening in his heart? All the times he was leading them through the wilderness, all those things. But he kept serving. I'm explaining. Please listen. You do not say, I would have done God's will if there were not all these troubles. No, troubles come with the responsibility. Because the troubles are what tend to make us look up to God and say, God, please. God, is it not you that sends me? Moses had a lot of troubles, fears. He called it the wretchedness of his soul. The wretchedness. Well, he felt really bad. But God proved himself. And all of us think of Moses as a mighty, miracle-working prophet of God. Comparable to very few. But it is through these terrible fears that he was that thing. Gideon had a master's or PhD in fear. Yes, no? His own is short, concentrated, but a lot. I wish I could read it, but quick story. God tells Gideon, you mighty man of war, mighty warrior, go in this there might, valiant man. Wait. Who? Where? Where did you meet me? A wine press. What am I doing? Am I bringing forth wine? No. I'm threshing wheat. Wheat and wine. Different presses. I'm grinding corn in the cassava. They say. Why? I'm hiding. Bible says he was hiding from the Midianites. I'm a fearful man. Threshing wheat in a wine press. That's where he meets him. And then the angel talks as though he's blind. Gideon responds. He gets instructions. He tells him, I want you to pull down the altar of Baal in your father's house, the Asherah pole. Pull it down and use it as a firewood to kill your father's, the second calf, fatted calf. Calf number two. There's calf number one. There's calf number two. Take number two that they've been fattening. Slaughter it. and offer it as a sacrifice. The Bible says that he did it at night. I'm saying these things to encourage someone rather than in the daytime because he was too afraid of his father's household. Listen, listen carefully because some of you are going to miss something if you don't listen. You're going to think I'm saying, no, you say, man, I'll do it during the day. Nothing will happen. Mm-mm, something may happen. Don't be wrong. Don't miss it. These men and women in their fearfulness is what the Bible calls a vessel of clay with the glory inside. Huh? Yes? Second Corinthians? We have this glory in earthen or clay vessels. Our clay vesselhood, our bodies of earth, our earthly experience comes with earthly issues. I want you to have peace if you have been obeying God. I want you to have peace when you leave here, if you have obeyed God in fear and trembling, but you obeyed. Let me tell you where you have an issue. Is when you disobey God. You've been disobeying God. But if you obey God, even though you are afraid while obeying Him, stop beating yourself. Don't listen to the devil when he comes and says, is he your kind of Christian? Look at you. Look at you. Look at, look at. He told you preach in the bus. The boss, you now look at how you preach. Is that how to preach? Full of fear. You think God accepts that kind of sacrifice? I'm giving you all the ammunition to say, Gideon, Moses. When Satan comes to attack you as you're obeying God, in spite of your shaking legs, just throw names at him. Gideon, uncle. Esther, uncle. Esther say, if I perish, I perish. It's like, if you know what perish means, it means if I die, I die. I'm going to meet the king. The last queen that lost her position, she disobeyed the king. He said, come. She did not come. Man, they said, don't come, except I call you. I'm coming. If I die, I die. Mm. She 3 days fasting, dry. That's the only place you read of dry fasting in the Bible. This thing all of you do every day. You thought it's anywhere else? Jesus did not do dry fasting. You can't find. Don't search here when you go home. Instead of eating dinner, go and search. No problem. I can assure you, you will not find it. Moses is the only one you're hearing that was up. It was not 3 days. It was 40. You want to try? You will die. Your body needs water for your blood to be running. So if you don't have water, your blood will stop. After a while, your blood will say, wait, see, and stand like this. When they pick your dead body, they'll say, you died from. So your blood will stop moving. Moses was in the presence of God. God is water. God is food. God is, he absorbs so much nutrition straight without the short. So how God feeds us is God gives power. Let there be light. God gives his power, reaches into the sun. The sun shines on plants. Plants are eaten by animals. Animals eat animals. Blah, 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 blah. You eat food. You eat animals and plants. That's how you get your nutrition through a process. Moses was in front of God. The quality of nutrition he received was so good. His skin. You couldn't look at him. It wasn't skin glow. It was skin born. He was... So don't tell me that Moses fasted. Stop it. That's not fasting. That's not fasting. When you're in a place where you're becoming God-like, don't be fasting with that. That's enjoyment. You think he was there thinking of food. Hey, food, oh, hey, food. Stop it. Nobody's thinking of food in the presence of God. God is talking to you. You're thinking of food. But Esther was thinking of food. That's why in the whole book of Esther, you don't see the mention of God. They had been away for a long time. God, I mean, it's not there. I know you're sure it's there. It's just, again, search for it this night. Try and do it before you eat. Okay, I forgive you. Eat first. Because you'll not find it. Esther was in Babylon, Persia. She had heard stories. She tried her best. fasted 3 days dry. Those poor girls. I wonder where they were from. She forced all of them. Join me. You think it's easy to die? Join me. They joined her. He compelled them. Everybody stayed hungry. Assemble all the Jews in the city. 3 days. Don't eat or drink. Death was looking at her in the face. Don't tell me she was not terrified. All it took was not for the king to say kill her. All it took was for the king not to point his scepter at her. All he needed to do was not respond to her presence. If she walked in there and he didn't go, all he needed to do is keep his hand down and not do anything. He could be smiling for all we care. If he didn't point that scepter at her, she was dead. They didn't need to ask him. They would bundle her away. That was the law. Oh, I would do what God wants. If not, you know, I repeat, it's not people that are not afraid that obey God. It's people that are full of fear, but have an attitude that says, you know what? I think all that matters is that God wants me to do it. So I'll do it. Gideon was afraid. He asked for signs. God gave him. Let the fleece be full of what I was. Let the fleece have no what I did not have. And let this one. The day of the battle, up till the moment, God say, one confirmation again. Yeah, yes, Lord. Okay, go. I went and listened to their enemies prophesying that he was coming to defeat them. He received encouragement, came and told them. God made sure he didn't get too confident even then. So 32,000 people gathered. He chased away 22,000. God chased away 22,000. After that, he said, there are still too many. Gideon, I hope you learn your lesson. He chased away another 10,000. He left him with 300 men. And you still think God is your pally. The Bible says the number of the Midianites was like sand, like locusts. Locusts come in millions. Like there's so many. It's an idiomatic expression. Almost uncountable. Demonic inspired opposition. It is in the midst of that you chase away. 32,000 people came. You leave me with 300. What's the plan here? Because God insists that in your weakness, he can be strong. This is what all of us must learn. This is what you must take away from here. To have peace in your heart in the face of all you have to be sure of is this God's will? Does God not want me doing this? Does God want me doing this? As long as you have some certainty that is God's will, stop feeling bad about shaking and crying while obeying. For many have shaken and cried before you came. Their names are in your Bible. Their names are in your Bible. Share the videos in your mind of them walking majestically, unafraid. Can you picture? Esther may have almost urinated on herself. Have you seen the hall of a king before? You think they opened the door here and meet him here? Do you have any clue of a king's hall, the length alone, and all the men keeping quiet and wondering, God, this woman, another rebellious queen. And she has to walk down. Can you picture her knees? Some of you to enter the hall with your friends, your room, with your roommate, you're shaking. Can you picture this woman in that time walking down with the idea that what if he doesn't stretch out the scepter and she walks the length of that massive hall? Can you picture the samba her knees are playing? Dear God, she probably could have fallen at any stage, but she kept her. Then she gets there. Oh God. Forget about her life. What about all her people that were about to be wiped out? Her whole country was going to be flushed wherever they lived. You don't understand. You're thinking of high loom. If she failed, her whole country was gone. She gets there. You think she went there to say, I don't know when she got the strategy, probably while she was fasting. She doesn't get there and say, Lord, please have mercy on my people and don't kill them. And we have said, what is it? And then they would have said, Haman would have said, My Lord is the law. The law of the Medes and Persians cannot be reversed. And I've been sorry, I can't do anything. Like Herod, please bring John the Baptist's head. What in public, but God gave her wisdom. You know, women learn wisdom when you marry. Wisdom. And she invites him for a banquet. Oh, king, I have a great banquet for you. Stroke that bride. I'll come. Hey, man, we'll go, right? Oh, I'll come. Yeah, to your execution. Okay. So, yeah, so they went to her house. She sits there. Haman is there. Everything is moving. You think she was planning to invite him twice? No, she sits there and the fear returns. And the king asks her directly. He knew, I told you. It's not now, men wisened up. Esther, what do you want? Esther, talk. Esther, talk. What do you want? What do you want? Even if it's half of the kingdom. So, she opens her mouth. It fails her. I would like the king to come tomorrow again. That's what you came to invite me for. What if he said, no, woman, I don't have time for all these things. I am executing battles. He goes and comes again. The favor of God was on Esther. Listen to what you need. Not confidence. What you need is the favor of God. Do you know what you've been looking for? And it does not allow you to do God's way. You've been looking for confidence. Trash it. My little experience is that there's nothing God gives me to do. No assignment. One of the ways I know it's God is that I'm like, God, are you real? No, now, please. 40 days. No. Is I whimper. Leave all these men of God who can't stand in front of you and say, we are going to... If you know what happened inside, they come with great comfort. We are going to be starting our school of inside. Do you know what it takes to do anything? I don't have time. We're out of time, so I'm not going to be able to tell you stories. When we started our school of ministry, I don't know how many classes have I taught. 200 and something. 170. Oh, it was 147. 170 something when we added the other semester. Okay. 170 something. But about how many hours total? Oh, that's why I mix up. So 253 hours of classes. When we were to start it, when I had the instructions, I could, how? Just even knowing what model, what method, how to teach it, who would teach it, when. I would have 3 classes a day. Except on Wednesday and Friday when we're having this. So I'm standing there. Everything in my body is, and you are going on. And on, and on, and on. And you're going to prepare all this content, and you're going to do this. And if you see the early classes, you see the quality, you can see it gets better. Have you gone through Gamka? The first classes, school, Ministry of the Saints, you can see. And it's getting better and nicer, and quality is getting better, better, better. Everybody's getting better. But do you know what does not happen? You who stays in your room and say, please, God, touch the king where he is. God, you're a God that answers prayer. Send down fire. And God said, I'll answer. Yeah, come. Go and meet the king. Hey, I bind every voice. Because you're there saying, God, God, bring change in the church. This is me. 20 something years ago. Lord, let your glory, let people worship you from a pure heart. Oh, God, tears. Till God says, every spirit of distraction. Come here. You see that thing you want in the church? Hey, come, let me send you. Like, I have a degree. I have a good job. Come. You go and preach. You try to cover all over the world. Are people covering things under prayer? Oh, yes. Why do you think there are so many intercessors for spaces that are not changing? Intercession. Makagagagagaga. Ngege. Woko. Mbaba. Check how many of them are on the streets doing evangelism. How many do you find when you go out? Don't they ask if you're Jehovah's Witness? In spite of your attempt not to dress like them, they still accuse you. They should have known you're not, but they still say, are you Jehovah's Witness? Why? Because don't others come. If they come, it's to invite them to church. Membership drive. But to come and preach the gospel and say, I want to talk Bible, I want to stay with you. Are people praying, Lord, save! Save the unsaved. That's not how Jesus took the land. He didn't stay in the closet. He moved from city to city, from place to place, preaching. Why are more people not preaching? Why are they praying more? Because prayer in a corner is not fearful compared to confronting a pure stranger. I want to talk to you about the glorious kingdom of the gospel of our Christ. The fear of being shunned, rejected, pushed away is too much. Are you understanding? And I'm saying God will not do what he wants to do except to overcome your fear. Hannah, fear, full of fear. God, please, shame has killed me. David, many fears. Ezra, the scribe, left Babylon, came down here. All sorts of trouble. Nehemiah, you've heard his story. Left his comfortable job. Mary, peasant girl. How would they believe I got pregnant by supernatural means? Who has heard it before? Matthew, good job, walked away. Luke, Peter, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man, in his boots. And Jesus says, come, I'll make you a fisher of men. He was afraid. I've given you these names. In the next 10 minutes we have, I want us to say a little prayer, or 5 minutes. You know, I want us to say some prayers. But the bigger thing I want you to have in your heart is the encouragement to stop saying, I'm too fearful to be used. No, it's likely that your fearfulness is exactly all that God needs to use you. Believe me, in this house, in our church congregation are many, many very fearful people, many fears. God has made them do all kinds of things. We've had people, if you listen to a prophetic conclave, prophetic testimonies, I think there's a playlist on our YouTube channel, God's Lighthouse, where people gave a few. Now, there are many more, but they've just put out a few of testimonies of our prophetic origins. It's called the Prophetic Origin Series, POS. Stories, prophetic origin stories. And even other testimonies, you hear people talk about how they overcame fear, wondered, under the testimony segment. Don't just take it from the preacher, take it from those who have gone through and experienced all kinds of things. The willingness to obey, to comply, to yield, to do God's will, because God said you should do it. It's not because it's nice. Stop thinking we do it because it's enjoyable. Right now, I'm doing things that I'm like, God, are you real? I'm looking for, you look for every excuse to say it's not God. You're wondering how? How is it going to happen? How? Where? Am I seven? I'm one person. You're going to change to seven? And God will show you mercy. Sometimes you give me a bit of wisdom. Okay, do it like this. But one thing I found out is, and this is my gift to you, be willing to do anything. That's usually when the wisdom comes. I've been up and down, very busy doing some things, that projects that I believe the Lord has given us. Many things like this, lots of it. And in the midst of that, you know, we started our chain in tarries, where we are having a tarry meeting every night. This night, when we leave here, people are going to be praying for the next 4 to 6 hours in this place from 10 o'clock. That's going to happen. It's happening. It's been happening since Wednesday. It happened the other week, some of it, but it's going to be happening consistently. For how long? I don't know. We've started prayer projects that lasted for nearly a year, 200 and something days. We've done that in times past. Now, usually our things are not big and open to the public, but it's happening, whether you know it or not. It's running under, just there, running like an engine. It's there. You know, some people never know what God is really doing. Because the only version of God you know is the loud and noisy, splashy one. Hey, who are they to talk? What do they know about? And what do you know? Who told you you know anything? Because the only version of Christianity you know is the announced one, the one with banners. Sometimes the people doing 10 times more, there's not a single advert. And it's going on. Could be anything. It's going on. Anyway, so you never know how it will start. You don't know how it will go. A time came, those same Bible school classes I was holding every day, 3 classes a day, became 3 classes a week with time. Then sometimes a semester will end. teaching a series and I'll stop during the day. In between that, I'm talking about my physical body. What about fuel? There was no electricity in this building. We connected electricity to it for 11 years. Do you know the cost of diesel? So just the thought of the cost. And I could go on. Who is going to coordinate? How will you handle it? You need a camera. Where will you buy? How much is a camera? 600,000. That was then. Now those same things are 1 point something million. One thing after another. As you step out and obey along the line, God provides, intervenes. When we started, the phone I bought a phone for the classes we were going to start, the Gamka classes. I bought a phone. I took my phone and bought a more costly phone. The costliest phone I had ever bought at that time, which wasn't that much, 100 and something thousand or 200 or so thousand. But it had a good camera and a large memory. And that was the reason I bought it, so they could use it for the class. But God was so kind and we had a camera around the same time. So every step of obedience, I'm explaining how it happens. So when you look and say, God is with that person. God has used that person. It is always in fear and trembling. It's in fear and trembling. I told the first set of people, come for Bible studies. It's in fear and trembling. And in the trembling, sometimes we drop it. Then fear and trembling, God says, go and call them back. And they say, come back, or let's be having Bible studies. In fear and trembling. You've heard some of these stories. In fear and trembling, you say, let's have an all-night meeting. Where? In my parlor. Tight. How do you have an all-night meeting in a parlor that is like 7 by 8 feet? Oh no, let's say 10 by 10. Such a tiny space. At night. Are you going to keep the door open? What about mosquito? How do you even do this? This is a living house. But you obey. So years later, when someone comes and sees the power of God moving, knocking people out, filling them with the Holy Spirit, delivering them, and you're like, oh yeah, Father, give me this kind of power. Father, have you feared? Have you trembled? Have you shaken? When I see someone moving in so-called confidence of what they can do in the Holy Ghost, even when you say it's in the Holy Ghost, but you have this braggadocio around you, I don't think you are ready. Because the person that God is going to do things with, even if they even appear bold, in their heart is a dependence that if God does not intervene, they will be in trouble. This applies to marriage, it applies to children, it applies to everything that God wants in your life. I'd like us to stand to our feet for 2-3 minutes and just pray a prayer. And what is it? This is how we are praying it. I give you 15 seconds to ask God to forgive you for allowing fear stop you from obeying him. Pray. Father, forgive me for allowing fear stop me from obeying you, for the excuse that I was too afraid. In spite of all the other people that were afraid and obeyed, you were afraid and disobeyed. Father, forgive. Forgive us for disobedience. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, forgive your children for disobedience. Amen. For the excuse of fear. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, you're to love God more than even your life. So what's fear? Fear is a desire to preserve your life. And God wants you to love him even above your life. I want you to pray now and say, God, I have seen that I have good company. Many fearful people who I consider my heroes. Father, I'm asking from today that in spite of my fears, help me remember always. Remind me by your great spirit in every situation that it is the Spirit of God at work within me. Christ in me, that is the hope of glory. Not by my might or by my power, but by your Spirit. Pray. Father, from today, help me always to overcome sin, to serve God, to carry out God's will. Anything, I can do it through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. Through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. Through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. By the power of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands, everyone. I'm praying with you. Father God, I thank you for your word. I receive this grace. I ask it for all your children too. In all the areas fear has limited them. From today, as we step out in fear and trembling, show your mighty hand.
Amen.
Encourage your children.
Amen.
Bless them as they go.
Amen.
Help others here, even share with their brethren the stories of what they achieved through their fears.
Amen.
Fear of persecution, fear of mockery, fear of lack. But here you are. God has been merciful. You have not starved to death. Even after breaking off those relationships, you have not become, God has kept you. And your conscience is clear. And you have peace with God and man. Show your mighty hand in this life.
Amen.
As they go, show your mighty hand. Bless them and do more than we've asked to imagine in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for every offering that will be given or has been given during the week. I ask that you receive it and use it for your glory and praise. Go with your children and do mighty things. Amen.
We pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things and hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at gods-lighthouse.org.